Imagine for a second, letting a robot design a 50-story skyscraper.
Okay, that sounds like a terrible idea.
Right. Like it designs it, it pours the concrete, and it inspects the structural integrity. All while you just sit in a glass office, just watching a dash
Just
core.
waiting for it to collapse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You probably say that is a massive recipe for disaster. Like you want a human architect.
A human foreman for sure.
Yeah, and a human inspector actually walking that site.
Yeah.
But when we look at the software that runs our entire modern world, our
Yeah.
banks, our hospitals, all our communications, there's this platform called Factory by Frund Cloud, and they are proposing we do exactly that.
Yeah, and I mean, it sounds reckless when you frame it with physical construction, right?
Definitely.
But the documentation we're looking at today actually argues the exact opposite. They're suggesting that our current model of software development is the problem.
The way we do it now.
Right. Artisanal teams of humans handcrafting lines of code, manually trying to fit all their work together, they argue that's actually the equivalent of a 19th century workshop.
Wow. Okay.
It is slow, it is expensive, and honestly, human error is the single biggest point of failure in the whole process.
Which is the core mission of this deep dive today. We are exploring how this platform intends to, completely replace human manual coding tasks with autonomous, factory-like machine processes.
Yeah, and they call the engine behind this the PR loop, PARR.
Right, which stands for Prepare, Act, Reflect, Review.
Exactly. And to really grasp how radical this shift is, we have to look at a concept the sources introduced right at the beginning. It's called the execution DAG.
DAG, DAG.
Right. It stands for directed acyclic graph.
Okay, let's break that down because a DAG is essentially just it's a massive complex flowchart for building an application, right?
Yeah, that's a really good way to think about it.
Like every box on that flowchart is a unit of work. So maybe setting up a database or writing a login function, and the lines between those boxes show what needs to happen first.
That is a perfect way to visualize it. I mean,
Yeah.
in a traditional software team, a human project manager assigns those boxes to human developers.
Yeah, John does the database, Sarah does the login. Yeah.
Exactly. But what Factory does is light up this graph dynamically as work lands. But the critical shift here is the worker.
Right.
When a node on that graph gets stamped as complete, it means a machine executed the work autonomously, not a person.
Okay, let's unpack this because that is a massive paradigm shift. We're moving from humans sweating over syntax in their code editors to machines executing a multi-stage assembly line. But, a machine can't just start building without instructions. If we stick to our construction metaphor, you don't send the robotic cranes to the site without a blueprint.
No, you definitely need a blueprint.
Right, and that naturally brings us to the first stage of the PRR loop, the prepare stage, which is handled by a service called PFactory.
Right, so Key Factory sits completely in front of any coding agents.
Like a gatekeeper.
Yeah. Exactly. In earlier iterations of AI coding, a developer might just throw a prompt at a chatbot.
Like, build me a payment portal.
Right, and they just cross their fingers and hope the AI guesses the context correctly. But PFactory doesn't guess.
What does it do?
It ingests your initial plan and then enriches it with your live organizational context. And this happens before a single line of code is even considered.
When the documentation says live organizational context, it's talking about the reality of a company's specific tech stack, isn't it? Like, it isn't just searching the open web for best practices on payment portals.
Oh, it goes way deeper than the open web. It actively hooks into your proprietary cloud infrastructure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it scans your live Kubernetes clusters, your AWS, Azure, GCP environments. It even reads your internal developer portals like Backstage.
So it knows exactly what you're already running.
Exactly. It's grounding the architectural plan in the absolute reality of what your company currently uses.
I have to play the skeptic here for a second, though.
Go for it.
Because if an AI is planning my enterprise architecture by just scanning my live cloud environments, how do I know it isn't going to hallucinate some chaotic, impossible design?
That's a valid fear.
Like going back to our skyscraper, I don't want the robot drawing up plans for a glass floor on the 50th story if our supply chain only has reinforced concrete.
Right, and the sources actually anticipate that exact fear. It's why PFactory utilizes what they call hybrid deterministic and LLM review gates.
Okay, hybrid gates.
Yeah, so it doesn't rely solely on a large language model to make the final call because, you know, LLMs are probabilistic. They just guess the next best word.
Right, they can hallucinate.
Exactly. Deterministic systems, on the other hand, follow strict coded rules. So PFactory runs the AI's proposed plan through these hard-coded architecture, security, and feasibility checks.
Oh, I see. So if the AI suggests using, like, a public database for sensitive user data, the deterministic security gate steps in and says, you know, absolutely not, our company policy forbids this?
Precisely. And it goes a step further. Every single verdict PFactory provides comes with citations.
Citations, so it shows its math.
It shows its math. It will point to the exact internal wiki page or like the specific AWS configuration file it used to validate or reject a decision.
Okay, that makes the process highly auditable. But even with citations, I still want a structural engineer's stamp on that blueprint before we break ground.
And you get one.
Okay, good.
PFactory enforces a strict, non-negotiable human approval gate.
So a human does have to say yes.
Always. The machine compiles the feasibility reports, it calculates all the cost estimates, and puts everything on a highly visual Kanban board.
Mm-hmm.
But the pipeline physically cannot proceed until a human reviews those citations and actually clicks approve.
Got it. So the machine prepares the work, but you govern it.
Exactly.
And according to the docs, the moment you click that approval, PFactory emits what they call a governed GitHub issue.
Yes. The stance, the handoff.
And that issue isn't just a sticky note on a board. It's the starting pistol for the assembly line,
yeah.
Right? Packed with all the citations, constraints, and context the next machine needs.
Right. The governed GitHub issue is this standardized package of work. And it carries the issue number as its proof of provenance, which naturally moves us out of the planning room and straight onto the factory floor.
The act stage.
Yep.
Powered by AI Factory. So the blueprint is approved, and it's time to swing the hammer. But the documentation notes that AI Factory doesn't just immediately start vomiting code into a file.
No, not even.
It uses a spec-first execution model.
Yeah, and this is a really crucial division of labor. Inside AI Factory, you don't just have one generic AI trying to do everything at once.
Which usually leads to a mess.
Exactly. First, a specialized planner agent reads that govern GitHub issue, and it writes a highly detailed technical specification.
Okay.
It decides the exact functions, the variables, the overall logic flow required. And only after that spec is completely solidified does a separate coder agent step in to actually implement it in syntax.
That perfectly mirrors how human teams work, actually. Like a senior engineer writes the architecture spec, and the junior engineer writes the boilerplate.
Very much so.
But, okay, here is my nightmare scenario with AI writing code on its own. What stops this machine from accidentally deleting a production database? Or pushing broken, uncompiled garbage straight to the main application?
Yeah, the rogue AI scenario.
Exactly. It feels like letting an automated welding robot loose in a factory without bolting it to the floor first.
Right. I mean, that would bring the whole company down instantly. To prevent that, AI Factory operates entirely within isolated Git work trees.
Isolated Git work trees. So it's quarantined.
Yes.
It's basically building the engine in a blast-proof containment room, far away from the actual cars.
That is a perfect analogy. Hmm. AI Factory ensures that absolutely nothing the AI writes can touch your main code base branch. It is physically isolated until a human explicitly merges it much later in the process.
That's a relief.
But beyond just the Git isolation, the enterprise guardrails here are massive. The documentation highlights things like tenant isolation, SAML, and a SIGINT for identity management, and comprehensive audit trails.
Wait, let's not glaze over SAML and S-Scheme.
Right, it's a bit of alphabet soup.
Yeah, for anyone listening who isn't a security architect, essentially, we are talking about how the system handles identity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of giving the AI a master key to the whole building, it gets a temporary, highly restricted guest badge.
That's the exact practical application of it. So SSIM, which stands for System for Cross-Domain Identity Management, ensures that the AI agents only have the specific time-boxed permissions necessary to complete their assigned GitHub issue.
So they can't just wander around your internal network looking at, I don't know, payroll data.
Exactly. They are locked down.
Yeah.
Furthermore, all of this routes through a LeetLM gateway.
A LeetLM gateway, meaning the company has centralized control over which AI models are actually being pinged.
Right.
So you aren't just sending proprietary code blindly out to OpenAI or Anthropic without oversight.
What's fascinating here is that because the act stage is structurally isolated from the governance before it and the review after it, AI Factory acts as a swappable execution core.
Oh, interesting. Swappable how?
Well, the docs mention it can delegate out to GitHub Copilot or GitLab Duo today, but if a revolutionary new AI coding model drops next year, you can just unplug the old one and plug the new one in without breaking your factory pipeline.
Because the pipeline just expects the output. It doesn't care which robot swung the hammer.
Exactly. The rest of the assembly line wouldn't even notice the change.
Okay, so our heavily monitored, restricted AI has built the feature in its blast-proof room. But as any developer knows, written code is almost never finished code.
Never.
It has to be verified. We need the inspector on the factory floor, which takes us to the third stage of the PR loop.
The reflect stage.
Right, driven by T-Factory.
So the finished code on that isolated branch gets handed off to T-Factory for autonomous test generation and execution.
Autonomous testing.
Yeah, and it runs tests across multiple modality lanes simultaneously. Unit tests, browser tests, API tests, integration tests.
I really want to focus on the testing philosophy here because the documentation uses a phrase I found brilliant. They call it coverage theater.
Coverage theater. Yeah.
Because when I talk to software developers, they love to brag about having 90 or 100% test coverage on a
Oh,
dashboard.
absolutely.
But a lot of those tests are just checking if the application successfully turns on, not if it actually calculates the math correctly at a green bar that gives this massive false sense of security.
Right. Coverage theater is the illusion of quality. And T-Factory is built specifically to dismantle that illusion using what the platform calls a five-signal verdict.
Guy signal verdicts, okay.
It doesn't just check if the code runs, it aggressively interrogates the code and the tests themselves.
You mentioned five signals. I imagine one is just basic stability, right? Like, if I run this test 10 times, does it pass every time or does it randomly fail?
Exactly. Stability reruns is one of them, along with coverage, delta, and linting. But how does it measure if the test is actually meaningful?
Right. How does it know?
That is where semantic relevance comes in. T-Factory evaluates whether the tests generated actually map back to the business logic that was requested in the original GitHub issue.
Wow. So it cross-references the original plan.
It does,
Yeah.
but the most aggressive signal of the five is mutation testing, or what they call mutation kills.
Mutation kills. That sounds incredibly intense. How does an AI execute a mutation kill?
It intentionally sabotages its own work.
Wait, really?
Yeah, T-Factory takes the AI written code and it injects subtle logical bugs into it, mutations.
Give me an example.
So it might change a greater than sign to a less than sign in a really critical payment loop.
Oh, okay.
And then it runs the tests against that sabotaged code.
Oh, I see. And if the test doesn't immediately fail and sound the alarm, it means the test is useless because it couldn't catch the sabotage.
Precisely. If the bug survives, the test fails the five-signal verdict.
That is brutal.
It is. It forces the system to write tests that actually verify logic, not just syntax. And T-Factory doesn't just hand you a text log of the results either. It provides visceral
A
evidence.
visceral evidence. Like what?
It posts a ranked triage report directly to your pull request featuring actual video recording
Video recordings of what?
of the automated browser interacting with the UI, plus screenshots and HAR files, that's HTTP archive files, so you can see the exact network requests the API made during the test.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, though. What happens when a test inevitably fails?
Cool.
Because AI is notoriously imperfect, right? If T-Factory finds a bug, does the assembly line just grind to a halt? Like, does a siren go off while the system waits for a human developer to manually read the HAR files and fix the machine's broken code?
In a traditional CI/CD pipeline, yeah, a failed build means a human has to intervene. But the PAR loop utilizes what they call a bidirectional handback.
Bidirectional handback.
Yeah. When T-Factory catches a bug, it packages all that evidence, the videos, the logs, the mutation failures, and it routes a correction request back to AI Factory.
It sends it back.
Specifically, it hands it to AI Factory's QA fixer agent.
Okay, wait, I have to push back on that.
Sure.
In my experience, setting up infinite AI loops usually ends up costing a fortune in API calls. While the models just sort of hallucinate back and forth at each other, ultimately producing garbage.
Right, the infinite loop trap.
Yeah, how does it know when to stop?
It is a heavily bounded closed loop between the ACT and reflect stages. It has strict iteration limits to prevent those runaway API costs.
Okay, that makes sense.
AI Factory reads the failure report attempts to rewrite the code to satisfy the failing test, and hands it back to T-Factory. If it can't achieve a green 5 signal verdict within its iteration budget, then it stops and escalates to a human.
Ah, so it won't just spin forever.
Exactly. But the docs claim the vast majority of rote bugs are resolved machine to machine, iterating autonomously until the code is provably solid.
That is wild. Tester hands it back to the coder and basically says, you missed a spot on line 42, try again.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, you know, that brings up a massive logistical nightmare. If we have machines planning in P-Factory, machines endlessly looping through code and tests between AI Factory and T-Factory, how does a human possibly manage that level of asynchronous chaos? Like, if everything is automated, you could have thousands of tasks running simultaneously.
Yeah, you drown in notifications. And this is the exact problem the final stage of the PR loop solves. We move to the review stage, which is governed by C-Factory.
And C stands for control.
Right.
So C-Factory is the control tower. It's the one pane of glass that lets a human observe the entire factory floor without having to walk down into the noise and the sparks.
Yes, and the only way a control tower can make sense of that chaos is if every single moving piece is perfectly tracked. The documentation explains that C-Factory relies on a technical connective tissue called the PR spine.
The PR spine. How does that spine actually thread these totally different AI agents together?
It relies on a shared correlation key, which actually brings us all the way back to the very first step.
Oh, wait. That governed GitHub issue number that P-Factory emitted.
That's the one. That number is the correlation key. It threads the architectural plan, the isolated code branch, the PR, the test videos, and the mutation results all together.
It's exactly like a tracking number on a FedEx package, but for a feature in your software.
Exactly.
If I want to know where the new checkout cart feature is,
right,
I just query issue 182, and C-Factory shows me its exact location on the assembly line.
And because of that unified tracking, C-Factory can offer an agentic copilot. And this isn't just a chatbot that searches documentation.
What does it do?
Because it reads the PAR spine, the copilot has cross-service state awareness.
Meaning what, practically? Like, if I'm sitting in the control tower and I see that issue 182 has been stuck bouncing between the coder and the tester for an hour, I don't have to go dig through raw server logs.
No, you literally just ask the copilot, why is issue 182 stuck?
And it knows.
It knows. It analyzes the blueprint from P-Factory, the code diffs from AI Factory, and the test failures from T-Factory, and it explains the bottleneck to you in plain English.
That's incredible.
It might say, the AI coder keeps failing the mutation test because the cloud configuration we approved in P-Factory is missing a required environment variable.
Not only that, but I'd imagine a true copilot wouldn't just point out the fire. It would hand you a fire extinguisher. Does it fix the problem?
It prepares the actions to solve it.
Prepare them.
Yes. It will draft the fix for the environment variable, but it strictly follows an advise and confirm model.
Advise and confirm.
The machine prepares the action, but a human must physically click to authorize it.
The human always holds the keys.
Always. And when you click that button, your authorization is recorded with an HMAC chained audit.
Okay. HMAC chained audit. Let's translate that for the listener who isn't a cryptography nerd.
Fair enough. HMAC stands for hash-based message authentication code. In the context of this factory, it means that every single time a human clicks approve or merge, that specific action is cryptographically signed and mathematically chained to all the previous actions.
So it creates an unalterable tamper-proof receipt.
Well, yeah.
If a regulator comes in 6 months later and says, you know, who authorized this specific line of code that caused a data leak? The company doesn't just have a flimsy text log that someone could have easily edited. They have cryptographic proof of the exact human who pushed the button.
Yep.
The exact test evidence they looked at when they pushed it and what the machines did immediately afterward.
It is airtight accountability.
So what does this all mean? Like, if you're listening to this and you build software or you manage teams that build software, you have to be looking at this documentation and wondering what your daily life looks like in a few years.
It's going to be very different.
We are looking at the fundamental redefinition of the human's role in technology.
The shift is absolute. By replacing the manual, repetitive mechanics of writing boilerplate syntax, configuring isolated environments, and writing brittle coverage tests, the bottlenecks of human limitation just disappear.
Right.
The PRR loop scales execution infinitely while maintaining enterprise-grade safety.
You essentially transition from being the builder who sweats over a missing semicolon to being the governor and the steerer.
Yes.
You define the business value in PFactory. You let the agents in AI Factory and TFactory duke it out in their closed loop to build and verify it. And you sit in the CFactory cockpit using your co-pilot to oversee the velocity of the assembly line.
That's the vision.
You aren't on the floor tightening bolts anymore. You are managing the factory.
It elevates human intellect, right? To focus entirely on complex architecture, user experience, and solving actual business problems. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, the architecture of this platform leaves us with a rather provocative question about human nature.
Well, I like provocative questions.
Okay.
So throughout the power loop, FrontCloud emphasizes one core safety principle to keep humans in control.
A human always clicks.
Right. A human always clicks. The human approves the Kanban board. The human merges the isolated Git branch. The human authorizes the co-pilot's fix.
The advise and confirm model.
It's the ultimate fail-safe.
Right. It ensures we don't just blindly trust the machines. We actually have to review the evidence.
But consider the trajectory here. As the hybrid deterministic gates get smarter, and as those five-signal verdicts and mutation kills become flawlessly rigorous,
oh wow!
And as those automated bidirectional handbacks resolve bugs infinitely faster than we ever could, how long will it really be until that final human click is just a formality?
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
If the CFactory dashboard can prove, with cryptographic certainty, video evidence, and perfect test coverage, that its code is completely flawless, are we eventually going to stop actually reading the code before we click approve?
We probably will. Human nature is lazy.
Right. Are we building a future where the software lifecycle is entirely autonomous and the human's only actual job on the assembly line is simply providing a signature so that a corporation has a liability sponge to take the blame if the impossible happens?
That is a staggering thought to leave on. We are building the perfect dark factory.
Mm-hmm.
The machines hum in perfect synchronization. The ideas go in and the flawless product rolls out.
Yep.
And maybe the only reason we are still standing in the control tower at all is because the machines haven't figured out how to sign a compliance form yet.
Just something to think about.
Definitely something for you to deeply mull over the next time you're rubber stamping a pull request.